Let's come before our God in congregational prayer. Our God and our Father, it is good for us to come into thy courts, into thy holy house, and into the sanctuary. It is good to sing unto thee and to praise thy name and to glorify thee, for thou art truly good. Thou art good to spiritual Israel. Thou art good unto us, thy elect people, in whom from all eternity thou hast set thy love upon us, and uniting us to Jesus Christ, and in Christ thou hast cleansed our hearts, thou hast purified our hearts, imputed unto us his perfect righteousness, forgiven all our sins. Truly it is good, and truly thou art good unto us. Lord, whom have we in heaven but thee? There is none upon this earth that we desire but thee. Our flesh fails, our heart fails, but thou, O Lord, our Father, art the strength of our heart and our portion forever. It is good for us to draw near unto thee. It is good for us. For thou art only good unto thy people. And everything that thou dost send, and everything that thou dost do, it is for the salvation of thy people and the glory of thy own name. All of history serves that purpose, the realization of thy glory in thy Son, Jesus Christ. Thou hast decreed the fall and the creation in 6 days by the power of thy voice, to be as a stage for the revelation of thy power and thy wisdom, and that thou would make a covenant with Jesus Christ, and in Jesus Christ all of thy church, who is his body. And as his body, all of his life flows through us. We have his life, his blessedness. And we are saved completely in our head. And we taste of the joy of the life, even now, and in the life to come, where Jesus Christ will be all in all. Remember us as a church this evening. Uphold us as a congregation. Knit us together in sound doctrine and the love of the truth. Build us up. Be as a wall about us. For we are so infirm of ourselves, we have no ability to discern the lie. We have no ability, and we are nothing. We are totally depraved, born and conceived in sin, incapable of doing any good and prone to all evil. And that fountain of sin wells up from our flesh and comes to manifestation in our members, whereby we sin against thee and against our neighbor. We are so empty. We are so destitute. We are so helpless. I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. O God of all grace, uphold us and preserve us as a church in this place that the witness of the gospel might go forth in its full glory, and that those whom thou hast yet to gather might be joined unto this church. For this church stands in strict subservience to thy will. Use us according to thy will. Use us. Powerfully for the coming of thy kingdom. The gospel might go forth to the ends of the earth, that white horse which runs, preaching the gospel to all nations, teaching, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And as a church, remember us in our vacancy, for we have no angel of this congregation of which thou hast appointed. We have no minister to go in and out among us. Wilt thou give unto us a man of thy choosing in thy good time and in thy good pleasure, and give unto us contentment with thy will, whatever that might be, and feed us from week to week with the means that thou hast given unto us. Remember our elders, uphold them, strengthen them with the Spirit, and do them richly with thy Spirit, that they might be spiritual men who love the truth. And who hate their own names, their own reputations, but love thee. And that as nominations are being made in this church, and as we as a congregation in the future will vote upon names for men to fill those offices with spiritual men who might stand in the breach, who might protect the flock when grievous wolves arise up out of our own midst to devour the sheep. And to slay the flock and to separate her from her head. We beseech thee for spiritual men. Be with our elders then, and be with our deacons too, as they administer the word. A word in season, that those who are afflicted, those who are humbled low, those who are troubled and distressed and cast down, might be lifted up in the glorious truth of Jesus Christ, and that their daily bread might be cared for, and that the love of the brethren is not shut up against them. Thou art truly good to us. Thou art good to Israel. And thou art good to us particularly, only to thy elect. And that all that thou dost do and all that thou dost send it is for our salvation. We look around and we see our disgusting human natures, we see our sinfulness, and we see the world full of the pride of life and all of the prosperous wicked who hate thee and who are lifted up against thee and who say within thyself, is there knowledge with the Most High? Is there a God that can see? But we truly know when we consider their end, that thou art only good to Israel, and thou dost hate the wicked, and wilt cast them down as in a moment. We pray this evening for the king. We pray as a congregation, as thou hast commanded us to, for our government. Our government, which is to uphold, support the gospel ministry. And we see that that is increasingly not the case, yet we are called to pray, to honor the king, to honor the president, to honor our governor, and to submit in all things lawful, but in the least bit to not let the royal bride of Christ be infringed upon. We pray then for the king. And in that government, we see the anti-Christian swell of opposition, no more evident than in the past years, where we see churches willingly reject the assembling of themselves together. And we know, as thou hast told us, that it is the last time where the love of many shall wax cold to the truth and to doctrine, where many will fall away from that truth, where apostasy will abound, and on the wings of that apostasy, the anti-Christian kingdom will arise according to thy sovereign will. And all for the coming of Jesus Christ and the realization of thy glory. That is not for us to fear, but is for our comfort, that thou art coming. And all of the signs and everything that we see with the eye of faith, we see that thou art coming quickly. And the end is drawing near. And it will be as in the days of Noah, with men marrying and giving in marriage, drinking and eating. Things will appear as they always were in the false church and in the world, in men's lives, and then shall the end come. And only by faith can that be our hope. Only by faith can we look forward to thy glory, when thou wilt be revealed to be righteous in all of thy ways. And thy righteousness will be manifested to all before the eyes of the whole world. Come, Lord. Come quickly for the coming of thy kingdom. And be with us too, as a congregation this evening, as that gospel goes forth, be with thy servant, fill him with thy spirit. Be with us as we hear that word, that might be applied to us by faith, by the Holy Spirit. And teach us to pray. Teach us to pray as the chief part of thankfulness, and that we might be a church that watches unto prayer, for the end draws nigh. Hear our cry, O Lord. Hear our supplication. For we are empty. We are in need of everything from thee, for thou art the only fountain of all good. And thou wilt be glorified in all things. It is all for thy glory. For of thee, through thee, and to thee are all things. Forgive us of our sins, pardon them all in the blood of Jesus Christ, and hear our prayer for his sake alone. Amen. We worship the Lord with the giving of our offerings. The first is for the building fund, and the second is for Zion Reformed Protestant School. Let's sing Psalter number 250. Let's sing 1, 3, and 5 of 250.
Thank you.
We turn in the Word of God this evening to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. We'll read the entire chapter. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return thither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into destruction as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors, as a dream when one awaketh. So, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart, and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed them, destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. On the basis of that passage and many others, and the holy inspired Word of God, we have the Heidelberg Catechism's instruction in Lord's Day 50. Lord's Day 50. Which is the fourth petition? Give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care, nor industry, nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. And therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, we consider this evening the fourth petition. Give us this day our daily bread. This fourth petition is not a prayer for just merely bread. It is not a prayer for simply bread. If that was the case, that this was in fact a prayer for only bread, then all men could pray this prayer. All men could take this prayer on their lips, because this petition then touches on the needs of all men and women in the entire world. This petition is not a prayer for merely bread. And there's a temptation too then with this petition to over-spiritualize this petition, this prayer for bread. And the over-spiritualization of that, of this prayer, is that some say this prayer is not a prayer for bread at all. This prayer is a prayer for the heavenly bread that came down from heaven and that gives life to us. And then from the heights of this would-be spirituality, they would not deign to take this prayer upon their lips for bread. But understand that this prayer is a prayer for bread with the blessing of God. That's what our catechism states about this, that nor even thy gifts, nor even thy bread can profit us without thy blessing. This prayer of the child of God is a prayer for bread with the blessing of God. A prayer for bread that comes with the grace of God, so that all of that bread stands in the service of God. And we are destitute by nature. That comes out in the catechism here too, in the word necessary. Be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body. And that's not so clear in the English. But that word necessary simply means this. It means destitute. I don't have any bread that I can give to myself. All good things come from thee, our Father. I have no right to anything. I have no right to any piece of bread, to any sip of water. I am destitute, and all of my nothingness needs to be filled up by thee, the overflowing fountain of all good. This prayer is a prayer for bread with the blessing of God. And there's a relationship then too. There's a relationship then between this petition and the three previous petitions of our Lord Jesus Christ. Perfect prayer. Bread. This prayer for bread stands in the service of God. And it's connected with the prior three petitions this way. I need bread so that I can hallow the name of God. I need bread so that I can do the will of God. I need bread. With thy grace, with thy blessing. Because that bread, apart from thy blessing, cannot profit me. That bread stands in subservience to the will of God, so that as servants in the covenant of grace, that we may thank and praise and acknowledge God to be the overflowing fountain of all good. And that idea stands in complete contrast with the world. With us by nature too. We have idolatrous hearts, but we live in an age of affluence. Wild, wild affluence. That affluence is not evil of itself. That gold and silver and all of the abundance is not evil in itself. The problem is that man has an incredibly idolatrous heart. In everything that man does, he lusts after the things of this earth. And everything that he does, he seeks more and more bread. He seeks to increase his earthly estate. That's the principal thing in man generally, but in your heart too, in my heart too. It's wildly covetous. Bread is the principal thing. And without that grace of God with the bread, we would sacrifice everything. We would lay our marriages on that altar to that idol god Mammon. We would sacrifice our children to that god. We would sacrifice everything for our own idolatrous hearts. That bread, thy good gifts, must come to us with the blessing of God. That's what the interest of the church is here in this petition, that neither thy gifts can profit me without thy blessing. That's the primary thing of the church. It's the grace of God. It's the blessing of God. It's not merely the bread. Oh no, it's not the bread. Father, our Father which art in heaven, give unto us this day our daily bread. Our Father which art in heaven, all that thou dost send, send to us with the bread, with thy bread, thy grace. So let's consider then this Lord's Day under the theme, our daily bread. In the first place, the meaning. In the second place, the source. And in the third place, notice the fruit. Our daily bread. That is the fourth petition of our Lord Jesus Christ, perfect prayer. And that idea of bread is this. That idea of bread includes everything that is necessary for the body. That is necessary for the body to live in this life and to carry out that one's calling in the service of God as he stands in the service of God. That bread is generally defined as all of the food that we enjoy. That bread is defined as every sip of water. We need bread. We need water to sustain our earthly life. If we don't have bread, if we don't have bread and water, man will die in about a couple of days. If man has water but no bread, he might live a month, maybe 2 months. We need bread. It is necessary. And that bread then includes all of the money that we need to buy that bread with, and therefore includes a job to supply that bread. It includes the labor for us to work and to get that bread. Bread is all of the things necessary for the body. It negatively stated, what bread is not? Bread is not all of the abundance. In this petition, we're not praying for the wine and the oil. We're not praying for beautiful large homes. We're not praying for an excess. We're not praying for any of those extra things over and above what is necessary. And that abundance serves the first three petitions too. When God gives the bread, when he gives in abundance over the top and exceeding what is necessary for the body, all that too, it is good to enjoy those things. He's given them to you, receive them from the hand of God. This petition, even that abundance though, stands in service of the first three petitions. Bread, it's daily bread. And that daily bread means this. It means the bread that is coming to us. Our daily bread. Lord, our Father, give unto us the bread which is our proper portion for this particular day. God in all eternity has decreed what that portion would be for that man in that particular time. That's all in His counsel. And by His decree of providence, He carries that out. He gives that proper portion to that man that He has given to. And that proper portion varies by man. A large family will need more bread. A single man might need less bread. Our Father, which art in heaven, give unto us our daily bread. Give unto us our proper portion for this particular day in Thy wisdom, in Thy providential care. And notice, too, our daily bread. Our, not me, not my daily bread, our daily bread. And right there, that idea presupposes the love of the brethren. It's our daily bread. There is a false theology of me and mine. I've got what I got. That's me and mine. You go worry about you and yours now. But this petition here takes the love of the brethren, our daily bread, and that undergirds then the truth in the church. That truth that we assist, we help one another. In all of the deacon work, we care for the needs of the poor, for their daily bread. We maintain the Christian schools. We help one another in their need. We lift them up. It is our daily bread. Our catechism gives us the relationship between bread, between the earthly estate that God has eternally given to a man in this Lord's day. What is the relationship between the earthly estate and the grace of God, nor even thy gifts, and that neither our care nor industry nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing? And there's an attitude today. There's an attitude today, even among the church, that God, when God gives good things, when God gives bread, when God gives His earthly estate, that is the blessing of God. In the good things themselves, that's the blessing of God. And that comes out this way. Look at this beautiful home that I have. I am blessed. Look at this, all of the wealth that I have. I am blessed. Look at all these good things. The Lord certainly is shining His favor down upon me. Look at my health. The Lord is blessing me. That attitude, it's pervasive. It's almost in every single corner of the church world. And this Lord's Day condemns that thought. Because if that's the truth, then the opposite is true too. If I have no health, if I'm sick unto death, then God must certainly be cursing me. If I have barely enough to scrape by, just enough to make end meets, God is certainly cursing me. If a church worships in a barn, God is certainly cursing that church. That's ignorance. It's folly. The psalmist in Psalm 73, he calls that beastly thinking. Beastly. Because then those who lack, those whose health is failing, those who don't have wealth, those who don't have all the earthly things that this world can afford, that this world has, then God certainly must be cursing that one. That's foolish thinking. Our catechism states here, thy gifts is one thing. The earthly estate of a man that God gives, that's one thing. In the grace of God, that's an entirely different thing. Those two things are totally separate. When God gives good gifts, when God gives to you bread or the lack of bread, there's never any indication of God's favor towards that person. There's never God's indication or grace towards that man. His gifts are one thing. His grace is an entirely different thing. And we have in this Lord's Day then a bulwark of particular grace over common grace. And the Catechism states that relationship, nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. What does common grace say about those good gifts of God? Common grace says about those good gifts of God that God in the rain and the sunshine, God in all of those good gifts, He's blessing that man. His favor's upon that man in the rain and the sunshine. And the gifts themselves are God's grace. And it's that thought that troubled the psalmist in Psalm 73. Understand what's going on in Psalm 73. The psalmist, he's standing and he's looking around at Israel. He's looking around at Israel and he's seeing all the prosperous wicked. He's looking and he's seeing their prosperity in Israel. They had no plagues. They had no bands in their death. Death did not trouble them. Pride compassed them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. They are corrupted, speak wickedly. He sees all of the wicked in Israel with all of their prosperity and all of their wealth and all of their gold and all of their wealth and influence and power. And then psalmist considered himself. The psalmist, as the plague psalmist, says, I'm troubled on every side. I'm troubled, I'm confused, I'm cast down. And even the wicked, the prosperous wicked, they use all of that wealth. They use all of their gold, all of their riches, and they wring out a full cup. Verse 10, therefore his people return thither in a water of and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. All the prosperous wicked in Israel, they're lifted up in pride. They're lifted up against the Lord God. Where is thy God? And then they oppress the people of God. And the foolish thinking was the psalmist is saying, God is blessing the prosperous wicked. Why have I done all this? Look at them. Look at all of their wealth. Look at all of their power. God is blessing them and God must be cursing me. Does God bless the wicked? Does God bless the wicked in the abundance that He gives them? Is God's favor in the abundance? Evidence of the favor of God upon the wicked. And for the child of God, is the lack or the need or the want, is that evidence of the curse of God upon him? And is that abundance even for the child of God an indication of the favor of God upon him? Is there a common grace? And the psalmist who was troubled went into the sanctuary. He went into the sanctuary and then understood I their end. The Lord set them up in high places. The Lord gave them all these good things. The Lord gave them all their prosperity so that in a moment, God would destroy them. And God would cast them down into perdition. They're utterly consumed with terrors. And then the psalmist understood. Those good things did not have any grace for the wicked, but they came to the wicked in God's wrath, in God's hatred. And he used those things to set them up so that he could cast them down in a moment. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. Oh, the wicked have a house. They have a mighty prosperous house. But the curse of the Lord is on that house. There's no blessing on that house. There's no grace of God on that house. The blessing, he blesseth the habitation of the just. The habitation of the just, the home, the bread comes to the elect with the blessing of God. And with the grace of God. God gives good things. God gives good things to all men. They're all good because God is good. He's the only good. But there's no blessing. There's no grace that's in those things. That good gift says absolutely nothing about the grace of God, about His attitude or His favor in that good thing itself. His blessing and His grace, it's particular. His eternal favor is only on spiritual Israel. And that's what the psalmist says in verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel, even as such as are of a clean heart. God's only good to His elect. He's only good to them. He's good to Israel always. Even when God sends plagues, many troubles, confusion, sorrow, turmoil, God is only good. He's only good to Israel. He loves Israel. From all eternity, they're in Jesus Christ. And God's goodness is what works Israel's salvation. The goodness of God is this. He purifies and cleanses the heart of Israel. Verse 1, even as such as are of a clean heart. What does God do with the elect? He takes out that stony heart. He gives a new heart, a spiritual heart, the principle of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. He purges away all of the guilt and pollution of sin. He imputes the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. He washes away all of the sins of Israel. He consecrates her in love to God. He gives her all the blessings of salvation. That's God's goodness. Grace alone is the blessing of God. Sovereign grace, irresistible grace, efficacious grace, particular grace. There's no common grace. God does not have a favorable attitude towards all men and the good things that He gives. He hates those men. He sets them up to destroy them in a moment. There's no favor for the reprobate. It is obvious then that this fourth petition is not merely a prayer for bread. It's a prayer for the grace of God. And bread only in that it supports our calling. And that's what the Catechism states too in this relationship. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge. There, the Catechism is giving the relationship. This bread stands in the service of God. so that as the friend servants of God in the covenant, we carry out our callings. We raise our families to support the Christian school. We support the gospel ministry. This is a holy spiritual prayer. Natural man and us by nature cannot take this prayer on his lips. It's a prayer for bread with the blessing of God, with the grace of God, so that in every morsel of bread, in every little scrap, in every sip of water, or in all of the abundance, that all of that serves our salvation. Without that blessing of God, we're raging idolaters. We're covetous. We seek more and more and more bread. Give thy bread with thy grace in riches, in poverty, in health, and in death. Send with thy gifts thy blessing, for it cannot profit me without thy blessing. God determined that portion that he would give. God determined that portion. And that bread that comes to us, we're covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. Covered from head to toe without one spot or wrinkle. In principle, we have that holiness, the perfection of holiness in the new heart. And when that bread comes with God's grace. Christ had to die for that too. So that bread doesn't come with the wrath of God. The natural man in us by nature, we have no right to bread. We have no right to any of the things of the creation. Who is man in the creation? He's this. He's a thief. He's a robber. He steals from God's creation. Every sip of water and every morsel of bread, he's a thief. And God's going to charge that against that man. He's going to charge that against that reprobate man. You were a thief of my creation. You stole from me in my creation. The earthly bread is one thing. The grace of God is an entirely different thing. Apart from that grace of God, it only serves our destruction. Our Father which art in heaven, give with all that thou dost send us, give unto us thy grace. And without that grace of God, give me nothing. I would rather die. I would rather perish in the earth than have one piece of bread. The only fountain of all this bread is God Himself. And our catechism says that too, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good. God is the source. He's the only good. He's ever the only good. And that's the catechism's answer. That God is the source of all these things. All eternity He determined. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Man lives by the word of God. God has appointed that daily portion for that particular man at that particular time. God from all eternity determined who were His and whom He would send the bread with His blessing. He's good. He's sovereign. He's free to do whatever He decides. He's the fountain of all good. And if He's the only good, then I'm not. I'm not good. All that we have, all that you have, it didn't come from you. your care nor your industry. It all came from God. He's the source of it all, of all of the bread, of all of the abundance. He's pleased to provide us with all things necessary because we are nothing and we have nothing. And God is the overflowing fountain of all good, must fill up our nothingness. There's no good. And that's true spiritually too, that we are nothing. We aren't good people. God justifies the ungodly. He saves the heathen through faith. There's no goodness apart from God having willed it in Jesus Christ. Man is destitute not only with regards to his physical needs, he needs God to provide, but he's destitute spiritually. You and me, by nature, we have no right to one sip of bread. And we have no right to the righteousness of God then in Jesus Christ. That wasn't always the case. In the garden, man was rich. Man was rich. He had in that garden labor and work, and it was all joy to him. He didn't have to work with the sweat of his brow, and God through the creation provided for man, cared for man. But now man, when he fell, he's guilty and polluted. He doesn't have a right to the things of the creation. No right to righteousness. All man has is death and poverty. He's destitute. And being in Jesus Christ, God restored all of that to you. He restored that to you in Jesus Christ. So that when the Lord gives bread to His elect people, He gives that with His grace. So that that bread doesn't serve your destruction, it serves your salvation. That's marvelous. That's gracious. That's lovely. If He gives much bread, or whether He gives little bread, God is good. God is the overflowing fountain of all good, only to the elect, only to spiritual Israel. And the abundance or the lack of bread, the child of God acknowledges God. And that just means this. It means that that child of God acknowledges the source. Where did all that I have, where did it come from? God. God gave me everything that I have. Everything from beginning to end, from my health to my wealth to my bank accounts to my food to the wine to all of the abundance. It all came from God. Give thanks unto God. Acknowledge Him. Where it came from, acknowledge the source. And that whether you have no bread, whether there is lack, whether health is poor, nigh unto death, it all came from God. He's the source. He's the source of everything to me. So don't put your trust in those things. And that's what the Catechism says too. Withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in Thee. When that bread comes with the grace of God, that's the effect. It's thanksgiving. You thank God for everything that He's given. You put away the trust in those things. And put away that pride that everything I have is because of what I have done. God gave it all. He's the giver. He's the giver of all those good gifts. He's the sovereign God who gives His grace in Jesus Christ. You don't have anything apart from Him. One only needs to look at the ungodly to see where bread without grace gets you. What is that ungodly man? What does the world do with all of that prosperity? He takes all those good gifts of God and he uses it to sin in the most disgusting and heinous ways possible. Everything he does, he advances in that sin. In pride and rebellion, where is the Most High? Where is thy God? And everything that he does, he lusts after more and more bread. That's all he can do. Bread is the thing. And he sacrifices everything for that bread. All on the altar to the idol god Mammon. And he says to himself, I have done. I have everything that I have because of me. I did it. I worked. It was my care, my industry, my hard work, and I have all of this abundance. It's because of me. He gave no thanks to God. He never acknowledged God as the source of all good. Acknowledge God. Give thanks to God. Don't use that bread for sin. Don't use that abundance for sin. Don't abuse those good gifts of God. Bread is a tool. It's merely a tool. It's an instrument. We may use those gifts. We may enjoy those gifts. We are called to be diligent. We're called to not be lazy and to work. We're called to care for those good gifts. And that's all the use of those good gifts. And that's what the Catechism means when it says care and industry. Our use of those good gifts. But none of that matters. None of that matters without the grace of God. Without the blessing of God. There is no profit. No profit whatsoever without the grace of God. And acknowledging God as the source, confessing and giving thanks to God as the source, means too that we use all of the bread, all of the earthly estate, we use that in the service of God. That's all the kingdom causes. We support the gospel ministry. We support the Christian school with our time and by writing checks. We support our families. We put their needs, we put all these needs ahead of our own. That's acknowledging God as the sole fountain of all good. He gave you all these things. Men, seek bread with all of their care, with all of their industry. That's all they do. Their whole life is centered around getting more bread. More bread. More and more things. They give their life to it. They serve it in all that they do. And that then, you must condemn with me, along with the Catechism, our condemnation of labor unions and of gambling. What are those two things but only the mere getting of bread? They're anti-Christian. There's no concern for the blessing of God or for the grace of God. The motivation of that man, it's only bread. I'm going to get what's mine. I don't care what happens with that man. I don't care what happens over there. I am going to get my bread and what's coming to me. And in gambling too. God is the overflowing fountain of all good. Acknowledge God. You can't acknowledge God. Can't give thanks to God. If God wanted to give you more, if God wanted to give you an abundance and a great variety of things of the world's goods, He would do that. The plagued saint acknowledges God as the only source. He gives thanks to God. And that none of this bread can profit me. It's a confession. None of this bread can profit me without thy blessing. That's the concern of the church and of the child of God. It's the blessing of God. It's the grace of God. The fruit, then, The fruit then is that bread comes only as a means. It's only a means. It's a tool. It's not the end itself. It stands in service to the Word of God. It stands in service as servants of God. And then we don't live like hedonists in the world. We eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. We're content, we're satisfied with the daily portion that God has given us. And we withdraw trust in every creature and place it alone in God, in Jesus Christ, by faith alone. And then in this life, we enjoy bread. We enjoy bread and all those good gifts, knowing that God is the source and He's given them to us. We're patient in adversity and thankful in prosperity. And by faith, then, we look forward. We look forward to that time when we will drink new wine with Jesus Christ in the new heavens and the new earth, where we'll dwell with Him. With that bread, and that bread comes with the grace of God, the child of God has peace. He has peace. That peace is the result of Jesus Christ and His work, and God pouring out the blessing of God upon His people. The psalmist was plagued. The psalmist was troubled on every side. He was afflicted, cast down, confused, disturbed. And then he considered the end. He considered the end, and he understood the relationship between the good gifts of God and the blessing of God. He understood what the purpose of those gifts were. He understood the reason God gave those things. Whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside Thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. The child of God, having the cross of Jesus Christ, he has peace. And then all of that bread that comes with the blessing of God. The prosperous, wicked, in all of their abundance, they have no peace. They're enemies of God. And all of their prosperity, God sets them up to cast them down in a moment. There's no grace, there's no blessing, they're tossed to and fro. And they die in a moment, in a flash they stand, and the Lord despises their image. But the child of God has peace. He has peace now. He has peace to eternity. Peace. Peace that passes all understanding. That God gives to His elect people always. Always. With the bread or the lack of bread, His blessing and His grace. Our Father, which art in heaven, give unto us this day our daily bread. Send with Thy bread the indispensable and essential blessing of Thy grace. Amen. Let's pray. Our God and our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word unto us this evening. Thou art truly good to Israel. And Thou hast, in the blood of Jesus Christ, given unto us a new heart, cleansed us, purified us, and consecrated us in love to Thee, so that in Jesus Christ all of Thy gifts come to us with Thy grace and with Thy blessing. Give unto us this day our daily bread for this particular day of the particular portion which Thou hast determined. Forgive us of our sins. Wash them all away in the blood of Jesus